Let's do it. Hey, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Austin asked me to open, but I've done it so many times, I'm okay with it. Good morning, and how are you guys doing today?
Thanks for covering me on that one. Hope you guys are having a fantastic morning. You guys are having a great day. Start of your week. Thank you guys for sending me the emails.
Well, we had another supposedly assassination attempt this weekend.
And, what do you mean, another theater show? I saw that. I was out of town. That big car event down in South Florida.
So you absolved yourself from social media?
We all absolved ourselves from it. Here's the crazy part, right? So we're down there, big car event, a lot of guys I know down there, and this whole event theater show happens with Trump, and nobody even got fazed. Everybody's like, oh, another one of these events again? Like, come on, guys. Can you come up with anything better than this?
Okay, let's
like the theater's getting kind of obnoxious.
Okay, here's the deal. here's the deal. Number one, I'll tell you how I feel about this thing in a second, but let me give you some background real quick. Number one, we've got a bunch of pedophiles running the United States of America and the world's Congress and world everything. Everything's being run by a bunch of dog.
That's pretty well established.
No, it's
these are the facts of the story.
Yeah, these are the facts. This is the back end stuff they're trying to obfuscate. We got a bunch of pedophiles working through the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab and all the rest. You can see him walking down the shoreline, you know, wearing a wedding dress if you don't think he's a pervert. And he gets to say, by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, pervert kind of guy. He stepped down from the World Economic Forum. He still runs it, you know, as a proxy, put somebody else in front of him because he has such bad publicity. So we got him, number one. He's sashaying, I should say it that way. He's sashaying in his wedding gown. And so we've got him as a weirdo. That's number one. You know, when Coach Dabemeyer and I went up there a few years ago to speak at a seminar, I asked him as we were walking through the halls of Congress, I said, does it appear to you that everyone here is a homosexual? Well, I may have used the word gay. Don't remember. And he goes, it's very strange. I don't see any straight guys. That's number two. So we have a sex death cult that's a pedophile cult that runs the planet that was using Jeffrey Epstein, who was Mossad agent, working through Israel. Okay. So he was basically Israel's, you know, man on the street. And he got a whole bunch of people all over the world basically tied up in this sex stuff on video cameras.
That's, yeah, footage, okay. Content, mm-hmm. Everything.
Okay, so therefore, we have the situation in which Pam Bondi releases too much information, and she's been promptly fired for that. And now Trump's personal attorney has come in now to basically take over as attorney general, which is going to prevent the release of anything. No, you can't even make this
stuff
up.
No, when you say it like that, that's why I had to show the video on that day. When you frame it like that, it's like...
Well, it's the only way to frame it.
Well, it's okay. The only way it's, yeah, it's true.
Okay, so now, so what's happened, though, unless we have to have some world event that's going to take the focus off Jeffrey Epstein. Now, let me say something to you. I'm going to just... This thing with Israel is beyond perversion. Okay, you know, Abu Ghraib, whatever that thing, that prison down there, you know, Cuba was. Remember when they were torturing the prisoners, the United States
was?
Oh,
yes, yes.
Okay? Well, they torture prisoners in Israel all the time because they don't consider them to be human, and they actually have trained animals to come in and rape the prisoners. I'm not going any further than that. This is all part of the Kabbalah. This is all part of their ritual stuff. This is all part of the Old Testament, where it says repeatedly not to do that. And a lot of you guys say, well, that's not true. That couldn't happen. People wouldn't do stuff like that. Well, I posted a couple of things on the website saying that they shouldn't be involved in that. And really, the reality is that the Bible says over and over again not to get involved with this stuff, not to do it. In fact, in the Old Testament, they would go into a country and they would kill all the inhabitants, and then God would tell them to also kill the animals because the animals were trained like this. So there's some sick stuff going on in Israel with a lot of perverts, the sex death cult running it. So Israel goes, by the way, you know, Trump, we've got you on all these video cameras, supposedly, my opinion, and we have you doing certain things you probably don't want everybody to know about. And so we need to have you go in with us into Iran and basically, you know, stop the news cycle of what's going on with the Jeffrey Epstein files. And we need to go ahead and get rid of Iran's abilities to do what they're doing. And we're going to go ahead and work on the Greater Israel Project. You think?
And add more control over the entire fuel system. And now remember, the EPA, all these agencies now are using the emergency authorization, just like they do during COVID, to start pushing more and more surveillance.
Well, we said it was going to be COVID part two.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so what's going on here, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Yeah.
5 weeks to flatten the curve. 6 weeks to flatten the curve.
Now, 8 weeks into it.
And the United States has had its butt handed to it. So is Israel. I mean, they have got a lot of people dead that they're not talking about. We covered that last week with Paul Craig Roberts. He said 900 dead, over 5,000 injured, probably higher than that. We don't know because everything they tell us is pretty much obfuscation, pretty much a lie. They don't allow reporters to be embedded anymore. So now we have to change the news cycle again. Now we have another attempted assassination in which the Secret Service agent who was there was saved by his cell phone. He was shot in the chest, and his cell phone saved him. The bullet, the 38 caliber revolver didn't penetrate his cell phone. This is kind of like a 30-06 being stopped by the skin on Charlie Kirk's
neck.
There
you go.
But then if you read a little bit deeper into the article, it says he's also wearing a bulletproof vest.
Right, as they all
do. Cell phone had nothing to do with it, okay? And so the crazy part about this is that you're looking at a situation in which they're having to now bring up a whole new news narrative. And it's like you said now, we have fatigue of this. Everybody's, because this is the third time now.
Well, it is. Everybody's come to over. Well, and then the thing that nobody, and this is ironic, it happens the exact same time frame.
No.
Last week,
well,
Trump comes out and he goes, we got a 3-week ceasefire with Lebanon. 3-week ceasefire. No. We're doing this to protect Lebanon from Hezbollah, what he said. Suddenly, last night, if you guys have seen that, Israel decided they were no longer going to maintain the ceasefire, and they launched a barrage of airstrikes on massive infrastructure going up further north in Lebanon now.
But, of course, nobody's talking about
Nobody covered it because every single news outlet in the entire country is talking about another assassination attempt.
So let's look at Breitbart used to be a good story place to get stuff. Not anymore. It's completely and totally, in my opinion, Kabbalah's controlled. And now we're seeing that this assassin that didn't do anything donated to a Democratic fundraising machine. The attacker used a hotel staircase to bypass security. Now, I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
No, listen to me. I've got a friend of mine who protects Benjamin Netanyahu's son down in Miami, and he is stationed in the staircase. In the staircase. And so this is a weak spot everybody knows about, and to not have security in a staircase is unbelievable.
Well,
so it's set up.
Then you look at the alleged video they show of the guy rushing through security of Secret Service, and there's like, what, 8 or 9 or 10 Secret Service guys standing there. One jumps out of the way when the guy rushes through them, bum rushes them, by the way, by himself, bum rushes them, runs through.
And one guy sits there and continues eating his salad. Just out of
mention
that. Obama falsely claims falsified assassins' motives are unclear. Mia Farrow suggests that Trump staged the shooting to raise approval ratings. An ex-account 223 retweeted name of alleged dinner shooter and only posted platform. Jimmy Kimmel fantasized about Trump's death before the third assassination attempt. Secret Service officer, okay, after taking a bullet because his cell phone saved him. Attacker bought guns legally. Now we're going to guns again. Okay. He hit at his parents' home without their knowledge because this is telling you that the parents are letting their kids do what they need to do. Democrat pushes military-grade weapons ban after handgun, shotgun attack. Here we go. Never let a crisis go to waste. So what am I thinking this is? I believe it's another completely fully staged system. So I don't believe for 1 second this actually happened in real terms. I think it was allowed again and staged. I don't know who did it. I don't know what agents did it. Probably Mossad. And again, same thing over and over. And Erica Kirk's laying in the back screaming and crying and saying, I just want to go home. Yeah.
I can't do it.
No. And, you meet the assassin, Cole Allen, anti-MAGA, anti-Christian manifesto. Trump is the Antichrist, part of the wide awake groups, attended No King's Rally. That means No King's Rallies are bad. Confirmed targeted Trump officials. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. But yet the real thing that's going on here is the obfuscation of the Jeffrey Epstein files. And now also, remember, Trump was opposed to FISA. Now, I did a bunch of research on FISA. That's one of the worst laws ever passed way back by Jimmy Carter and the gang. And now they have the ability to go in and to spy on people, you know, unprecedented the way they spy on people. And now Trump said now is the proper time to basically get FISA approved after several years ago when he was running for office. He said he shouldn't be approved. It should be vetoed. So it never ends. It never ends. It never ends. It never ends with a 35-ring circus show with the poop-throwing monkeys. Now, for you who are new listeners, you have no idea what I'm talking about with a poop-throwing monkey. So we're going to go ahead and tell you for about 10 seconds, well, about 30 seconds, what a poop-throwing monkey is. You go to the zoo, and there's a big sign in front of the monkey cage. Monkey throws feces. Stand back. You think, well, why would you have a poop-throwing monkey? Because they don't know what to do with it. Because the people that care about monkeys don't want the monkey euthanized. So they got to keep it there in the back throwing poop at people. So you sit there and you get poop thrown on. You go, this is a nightmare. The problem is all of this stuff, these are the poop throwing monkeys that have nothing to do with any of us. And we have to deal with it over and, you know, I'm right.
No, there's absolutely zero purpose for any of us to have them around.
Why do you want to put them
there? They have signs. I've seen signs.
Yeah, yesterday. Yeah, but perfect example. There are some people out there that are just activists. They don't care if they have an animal. It doesn't matter what the animal is. It has to be protected. Yesterday, I'm on the way to church.
Yeah.
And I'm on the back road. I'm going the speed limit. I'm just chilling, right? And all of a sudden, I look up, and there's this truck parked right on the side of the road. And here comes a woman walking down the aisle, the middle of the lane, right in the middle of the road. So I stop the brake. Don't completely stop. And I look over, and there's a turtle in the left-hand lane.
A turtle left-hand lane?
No, she has parked on the road, on the side of the road. She's walking down the lane, wearing a dark outfit, going to church, obviously, going to come pick the turtle up. About hit her, about hit the turtle because of all this. The turtle's in the left-hand lane, so I go around her, and almost run over the turtle. And I'm like, what the heck, man? The turtle is going to get off the road or not. It's a turtle. We are infested with turtles here in Central Florida. They're everywhere. The other day, I was on the front porch, and there's one sitting on the front porch looking at me.
Well, yeah, they're turtles.
Well, yeah, she'd hang out. She had come up from the lake to lay eggs, and a lot of times you see all these little turtles running down my driveway going back into the lake, and she's just hanging out on the front porch just looking at me. And I told her, I said, you know, this is not a place to lay eggs. And she promptly walked away.
You're ridiculous.
Now, whether she listened to me or not, I don't think so. But the point was, but she wasn't even scared. She's just chilling out.
It's a turtle.
It's a turtle. And so, I mean, and we have so many turtles here.
Now, the only good factor.
No, I'm not advocating running over turtles. I did not hit the turtle.
I'll tell you this. If you're down here in Florida and you're in a lake and there's usually a large population of turtles in that lake,
that's a good chart.
There's usually a good sign because there's not a large population of gators in that lake because gators love turtles. Just give you that's a little tidbit on that. Not saying there's no gators in the lake. What I'm saying is it's a good sign if you're in the lake.
When I was a kid, our lake was filled with turtles and garfish.
Yeah.
Now, garfish are also a favorite delicacy of gators.
Yeah.
Because we had no gators. It was back, Abraham Lincoln was president way back when, back in the 50s and the 60s. And so what happened is, being facetious, and what happens is we end up, I have to do that because people always take me for everything I say is like, you know, I'm not joking a little bit.
But we didn't have
a problem with gators. Because remember, they had been almost hunted to extinction, total lie. They were put on the endangered species list. Never should have happened. There were millions of them in the Everglades still. Now we've got a problem with gators because of anacondas and pythons and who knows what else kind of snakes in the Everglades.
Is it turned now that we're now trying to side with the gators to go after the anacondas?
Have the tables turned?
That's about 30-foot anacondas now?
That's about where we are.
About as odd as that, yeah. Kids.
By the way, tags
open on May 7th.
By the way, last Tuesday we had a show. And I've gotten more comments about that show than shows I've done.
What did we do on Tuesday?
It was that joke show we did.
Oh,
when I was talking about the state trooper with a giant leprechaun head, and we were kidding around for almost an hour, and that was a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and I'm glad you guys enjoyed that.
But I have a really cool study that just came.
Let's
out
do it.
Now. This is very interesting. This came out of the University of Medical Sciences in Iran a few years back. Okay,
before we destroyed them.
Before we start carpet bombing them,
probably killed.
Don't be mad at me.
Probably killed this because they didn't want it coming out.
So it was a double-blind randomized trial that recruited 50 patients aged 50 to 80 who had basically had some type of CABG or coronary artery bypass surgery, heart bypass surgery. And they went and looked at this, and they wanted to evaluate the impact of high-dose vitamin C on the heart muscle injury patients. The surgery improves blood flow to the heart, is why a lot of times they recommend doing it. But, I mean, it's a very invasive surgery. So the intervention group received 5 grams of vitamin C before anesthesia and 5 milligrams of vitamin C in a solution. Control group received the same amount as placebo. Then they took blood samples to determine the participants' levels of basically creatine, kinase, muscle, brain, tropin, and essentially recorded the measure of ventricle chambers and as far as the subject's left ejection fraction. So what they did is they want to see the heart functioning. They found high doses of vitamin C translated to significantly better heart function 72 hours after surgery, as well as reduced length of stay in intensive care unit. The vitamin C's cardiac enzyme levels were also significantly lower than the placebo group, which is interesting because you start looking at a lot of stuff and you start realizing, well, maybe we can actually do things naturally sometimes and make a difference as far as an overall health. They said the vitamin C suppressed the free radicals and acids constantly being produced through the metabolic oxidation causing stress and inflammation, which is affecting the heart. They said besides vitamin C being an anti-inflammatory, antihistamine, to name a few benefits across, it resupplies fat and membrane protection, vitamin E with electrons, reduces iron, and better oxygen delivery. Essentially, everybody that got the vitamin C treatment recovered better and faster.
Okay, here's the problem with the article.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's not accurate.
Yeah.
And it probably is. Vitamin C interferes with anesthesia.
Right.
Period. It makes it not work as well.
It obviously did okay for them.
But did okay. Well, they're not talking about it. They woke up in the middle of surgery. They're not mentioning any of that. You know, what they're saying basically is it helps the heart recover. Well, wouldn't it have made more sense if they had these people on vitamin C for 2 or 3 weeks repeatedly, or even 2 or 3 months before
or
the surgery?
Or stay on it every day.
Hmm?
But,
okay, and then stop taking it about 48 hours before the surgery.
Vitamin C is water soluble. The thing is, vitamin C is water soluble. They did not give the exact time frame as far as when they administered the intravenous vitamin C.
Before
anesthesia, but I don't know. I highly doubt they injected the vitamin C intravenously and then gave them anesthesia a minute later. So I don't know as far as that.
The reason I just said that, I'm warning you not to use vitamin C right before anesthesia.
They've always tell you, as far as you know, surgery, not to use vitamin C as far as for a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
and the reason for that comes to the anesthesia.
But you gotta remember, this is Iran. They're pretty wild over there. Do you want to try it?
Well, they were. We've calmed them down. But boy, I tell you what, they have humiliated the crap out of the doggone United States. In fact, Germany's Merz, the president over there, has said that basically, you know, on Monday that Iran's leadership was humiliating the United States and getting the U.S. officials to travel to Pakistan and then leave without result or not even show up before they get there. He said he cannot see what the exit strategy of the U.S. is. And that's what this is, by the way. Trump's assassination. The exit strategy was this weekend. They took it out of the news.
Yeah, they took out the news, yeah.
Okay. And now it's another assassination attempt. Oh, don't you know Donald Trump? Poor Donald Trump is doing so much for the United States, they tried to kill him again.
That's exactly right.
And so, therefore, no one's talking about
now,
Iran.
Remember, you can't get mad at the victim. Mm-hmm. That's the play. That's always the play with these groups that do things to people. And they go, but don't you understand? I'm the victim. Don't I have a right to exist? Don't I have a right to defend myself against Hezbollah and Hamas and anybody that disagrees
trying to assassinate me?
I have a right to protect myself. That's what that article, Tucker Carlson made it so well in that one interview. And this lady's interview, and she's trying to set him up, bait him. She goes, does Israel not have a right to exist? He goes, does Gaza have a right to exist? Mm-hmm. Do the Christians in Lebanon have a right to exist? He goes, what is the actual framing that you're asking me this question? It's an open-ended question, and that's the point. It's designed to be like that.
They made one mistake on this assassination attempt. It's a glaring failure. They didn't make the assassin a radical Islamic Muslim Iranian.
That's true.
That's what they should have. But then what it would have done, it would have pushed the whole Iran narrative back into the news cycle.
That's true, because then everybody would have rolled back into that topic. And now we've got this constant theater show with the Strait of Hormuz.
Yep.
There's this constant manipulation. Yeah. Oh, it's closed. No, it's open. The United States opened it, but now they closed it. Now we're charging people Bitcoin Iran to get through it. Now we're not. Now we open it. It's designed to keep everything so continually confused and ironically about this.
Out of chaos will come the new world order.
And now you pull it up. The article just came up on this now. And it's talking about how airlines cut outlooks after jet fuel shock bill.
Lufthansa's in trouble.
Well, man, I told you guys, I said, here's the problem. When you deal with diesel fuel, I'm in transportation industry. I know exactly how stuff's affected. And that's what I warned everybody about.
Well, jet fuel is basically diesel fuel.
When everybody got so excited about going to war with Iran, I said, you have no idea what's about to happen with the cost of everything. Because remember, especially with airlines. Airlines has predetermined flight prices that they've already established, and people buy their tickets sometimes a year in advance. We've got flights that are established, they're loaded, they're sold out, and everybody bought a ticket, say, for average, you know, $150 a ticket. Well, now all of a sudden, it's middle of Iran conflict, the flight's been sold out for months. Now suddenly, jet fuel goes from, you know, $3.50 a gallon to $7 a gallon. you're losing money on the flight. You can't operate on it. It's impossible. So now they're having to cancel his flights.
It's better to refund the tickets.
That's exactly right. That's what they're doing now. It says here, United Airlines says ticket prices are going to rise up to 20% at minimum to offset the future jet fuel surcharges. So,
well, you know, when I was flying all the time, I was paying like $2 something a gallon for you know, aviation.
Gas.
It was cheap. That was cheap. This is back about 10 years ago. Man, when I got done flying about 4 years ago when I sold the airplane, it was $7 a gallon. It went from filling up to go to North Carolina for a couple hundred bucks to like $700.
I remember that. Well, and before with that 210, man, when it was two something a gallon, that was like,
no,
fly up to like $280 in fuel. Oh, you're there in 3 hours. I couldn't drive the truck for that much to get it up there and back.
Oh, but the president of Germany also said he didn't see an exit strategy for the U.S. And he says, the Iranians, listen, this is funny. Quote, the Iranians are obviously very skilled at negotiating, or rather very skilled at not negotiating, letting the Americans travel to Islamabad and then leave again without any result, he said during the talk. An entire nation, listen to this, the entire nation, the United States nation, is being humiliated by the Iranian leadership, especially by these so-called Revolutionary Guards. And so I hope that this ends very quickly, he said, you know, when he's in Westphalia. U.S. President Donald Trump has harshly criticized NATO allies for not sending their sons to help the open Straits of Hormuz conflict. German Chancellor again said, he reiterated, Germans and Europeans are not consulted before the U.S. and Israel start attacking Iran on February 28th. And he conveyed his skepticism directly to Trump afterwards. You know, he says, if I had known that it would continue like this for 5 or 6 weeks and get progressively worse, I would have told him even more emphatically, Mert said, comparing it to previous U.S. wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. So this is the thing that we're not realizing. We have gone through half of our Patriot missile sources. Awesome.
Yeah, I know.
And do you know it takes like 4 years to make one of those things?
I know. I actually hung out with defense contractors this weekend while I was down in
Miami. How can it take 4 years to make a missile?
A lot of it is trying to make sure they generate a max amount of profit on it. When you come in, you give a bid out. And I talked to guys about this, what they do down in South Florida with the construction industry. That's why if you ever notice, you go down to South Florida, it's in perpetual construction. It never ends. I've never been to South Florida and being a construction.
So is Orlando.
Mm-hmm. And it's a giant cash flow money laundering scheme is what it is. It's how they do it. So what happens is these guys put these bids in. It's supposed to take X amount of time. But then in the contracts, they have, oh, well, if this occurs, there's clauses, and it takes longer, we get more money. So they have absolutely zero interest in trying to get things done on time, which they could very easily do in basically roadway industry. But they want to continue to make as much cash they can off of it. And then you have a lot of the city commissioners, the county commissioners, and the state that's getting essentially kickbacks. So they're getting money to allow these things to go on, to sign off on these deals with DOT and everything else that continually keeps a perpetual highway fund going. I know how fast they can do it because I've been in construction. And on top of that, I watch down here in the state of Florida where we have a giant chunk of road from Highway 27 out in Orlando. And it was the biggest bottleneck in existence on I-4.
It still is.
It still is. But so what they did was DeSantis said, this is a problem. We need an entire another lane built on both sides.
6 months, it was done.
Done.
That fast.
Done. That fast. So when you see this endless construction on roadways and it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on, it's complete theater. This is what they do with the Patriot missiles. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we don't have the munitions right here. We don't have this right here. So we have this clause. It's going to take us longer. It's going to cost more money. That way we can charge, you know, $500 million for this one small weapon contract. Oh, another $1 billion. So why do you think the Pentagon gets $1 trillion a year, guys?
Trillion and a half now.
Trillion and a half. Now, here's the crazy part. We're now paying more money almost in interest than we have been on the defense, basically the defense budget.
Think about it. We gave so many of our armaments to Ukraine and had them traffic it all over the world, like up to 70-80% were sent other places. And now we've exhausted our supplies. And why did we do all the stuff with Ukraine? And why has that war gone on for 5 years? Military-industrial complex had to be fed.
What the thing about this is there's no, it's not, this isn't conjecture or speculation. This is facts. I've talked to the guys in these industries. There's a reason why the whole thing with Ukraine escalated the way it did at the timing that it did right after we pulled out of Afghanistan less than a year later.
Mm-hmm.
The entire military-industrial complex was spooling down because Afghanistan was basically, that conflict could no longer suck any more money. There was no way to justify more expenditures. Everything was cooling down, and we had so much cash dumped into that conflict that it was like, okay, we can't keep justifying this. Trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars spent in Afghan. We've got to do something now. We've got to move out. We've got to do something else. Well, of course, we needed another conflict, but didn't want to get an escalated conflict, so we turned into a proxy war with Russia to have more, you know, stability in the area.
But you got to remember, you know, the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan that controls BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. Just call it what it is. Needed more money because their never-ending thirst and lust for greed is you can't extinguish it. In fact, here's an interesting article. Does Trump represent America or Israel? The account of the Iranian situation is reasonably accurate of what's happening, but Trump has revealed time and time again that he's taking us to war against Iran for Israel. Trump thinks no oil price is too high to pay to protect Israel from an alleged Iran threat. It was Israel, not Iran, that started the war. It is Israel that has nukes which seem to threaten Iran. Why doesn't Trump think this is bad? It is Israel that is an aggressive state with nukes, not Iran. That's a good point, by the way. Why can't Trump focus on representing Americans? What drives Trump to put America's military budget, lives, and weapons to his service and Israel's service, and to the risk of collapsing the GDP and soaring inflation from the interruption of oil and fertilizer shipments? Trump really makes no sense. Perhaps he thinks he's the president of Israel.
Thanks.
Remember, he said he could be elected president of Israel. Iranian nukes are just another lie, like Saddam, who weapons of mass destruction that allegedly threatened America. It's amazing that Americans fall for these lies. And here's why I'm reading the entire article. Hermann Göring, German Nazi. We always got to bring the Nazis in. Said, it is easy for any government to take a country to war. All you have to do is to tell them they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for a lack of patriotism. But what is the explanation for Trump taking America to war because Israel wanted the U.S. to attack Iran for Israel, as the State Department has admitted? Why don't American conservatives consider these questions? Why do they take for granted that a joint attack with Israel on Iran is justified and not justified, complaining with the facts will not coincide with their war propaganda? It's because of the Scofield Reference Bible. Why do you think I keep going back all the time to what happened 100 years ago with the Scofield Reference Bible? They had to get the evangelicals on board with Israel before Israel was even formed. And so everybody said, oh, it's a great miracle. Israel's back in service again. They're back in the 40s, and we've got them going again. This is great. Now we can have dispensationalism, and the end times are upon us, and we can rebuild the third temple, and we can bring the Antichrist out, and we all get to go get raptured and go to heaven. Until the group of Americans that believe this nonsense, this absolute garbage, stop following the Scofield Reference Bible and go back to accurate doctrine, this is not going to get any better. And that's what they said. That's why a lot of people are blaming the baby boomers. In fact, one professor now, this Jewish law professor, says that all of the money from the people who are baby boomers needs to be taken away from them and basically given and distributed. He's basically a communist.
Yeah.
Jewish law professor wants to punish Gentile elderly who responsibly prepared for their elderly for their old age. Here's a Jewish Yale School professor, right? The Yale's faculty has become increasingly moronic in a determination to split American society into finer and finer agonistic pieces. A disunified society is an easily destroyed society. Professor Moyen, M-O-Y-N, has invented a crisis allegedly because of the elderly. That's people over the age of 50, by the way. His solution is to dispossess the elderly of their homes, their wealth, their jobs, and their influence, and make them live in poverty. If these kinds of pernicious arguments are against gain acceptance, they have the desired effect of creating more hatred, more disunity, and more animosity. Moyen is trying to turn children against parents and grandparents, and the New York Times is helping them. Imagine that. Try to imagine the social damage done by universities teaching sons, daughters, grandsons, and granddaughters that their parents and grandparents are holding them back by hoarding homes, wealth, jobs, and influence.
There you go.
Universities and media have convinced me that they are dysfunctional institutions whose existence is adverse to the American existence. I had a friend of mine ask me last week, ladies from Germany, and she said to me, she goes, was there ever a time in the United States where one household income was enough to support the family?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, she goes, you know, people tell me homes used to cost $10,000 or $15,000, which they did.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, why are they now $500,000? She goes, when a person gets out of college, they have to now look at having a mortgage of $500,000.
Big note.
Okay. Thousands and thousands of dollars a month just in mortgage pay fees alone. And they get these expensive 40-year mortgages in which they never pay any principal for the first 20 years. So they never own the house. They always have their own debt. Like Klaus Schwab wants us to be, you'll own nothing and be happy.
Well, and then to add on to it, though, and add on to that housing aspect, is they slowly decreased the quality of the homes through BlackRock owning almost all the major developers, like down here in Florida. The houses built now are complete trash. Within 10 years, the shingles are bad already. The trusses are already starting to warp.
Paint's bad.
Paint's bad. Stucco's flaking off. AC units gone. They're trash houses. They're built like shanties now. You go back and look at the houses that we built back in even just 30, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the footer's enormous. The block is enormous. Everything ends up being poured half solid. I remember one of the old Grove houses that we got years ago. I ended up getting black mold in it. Had about a stub. It was built in 1950. This little house that we have is real tiny. Couldn't do much with it. So I was like, okay, just get rid of it. Tear it down, black mold, just whatever. Well, they're pulling the footer out of this thing. The footer's insane.
Like 3 feet wide.
It's like 3 feet wide, like 4 feet deep. They're pulling it out. I'm like, I had no idea that all, it was built like this.
And all the walls, all the interior walls were concrete block.
All they're like solid, too.
And all of them had footers.
Yeah.
No, it took a minute to tear this house.
Yeah, and then you go look at these other houses, you know. A brisk breeze blows the house down now because they're crap. And so that's what they've done. They've decreased the quality, raised the price, brought the interest rates up. And you said exactly what you just said.
Well, they had, because of the lack of proper structure back in the old days, 100 years ago, all these houses down here kind of survived hurricanes that weren't on the water with storm surges, okay? They didn't have the roofs torn off. And so all the roofs started getting torn. So they had these hurricane straps to tie the roofs down because they were so... But they weren't using conventional framing. They were using truss structures that weren't as strong. And so it goes on and on and on and on. And I told this lady, I said, here's the problem. I said, you know, back 100 years ago, now listen to me, everybody, because some people say this is okay. Some people say it's not okay. We had a nuclear family. Sometimes we'd have a 2 or 3 story house. And you'd have the grandparents living on the bottom floor, the parents living on the middle floor, the kids living on the top floor. And you'd have generational housing. And if they needed more room, they'd add another wing. And they would pay for it, and they would just pay cash for it. And they had this house that was paid for. You think, that's like a miracle, a house that's paid for. Yeah, well, it really is nowadays. And the crazy part about it is that was considered okay. But when they shattered the nuclear family, the kids all moved away. Grandparents moved away. They had to go to North Carolina for their retirement. And this happens all the time down here in Florida. And everybody's 500 miles, 1,000 miles, 2,000 miles apart. So nobody lives in the same facility. You think, that's got to be terrible living in the same facility. Well, it would be if you didn't adjust yourself as far as being respectful to one another. Remember, it's the trust and the respect and the reciprocity that creates love. Then I also told her, I said, the biggest problem that we have is the fact that people want to buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't know. That happens all the time now. And so you get deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. So now you need one income family, two income family. Now both couples have to, now both the husband and the dad have to have two jobs. I've seen it over and over and over. Had a friend of mine. He basically had his kids living with him who refused to work. And, you know, and basically he had to support them. So he ended up having to get two jobs. I mean, he was like in his 60s. He had to get two jobs to support his family because they refused to work. And the crazy part about it is you sit back and you watch and you go, it shouldn't be that way. Now, and then finally I told her, I said, but the primary thing is this. This is the primary reason that it's like this now in the United States. Federal Reserve Bank.
Oh, yeah.
In 1913, they inflated the currency, and they continue to do that. You know, in 1913, you know, right now, we'd have like a dollar would be worth $100 of the real numbers on that. So that means we've had a 100-fold decrease in the value of the dollar. Hence, the housing has to go up 100-fold. Hence this, hence that, hence this. This is the problem that we have right now in the United States of America. Hence, when I was in high school, you could buy a brand-new car for $2,000 or $3,000. That ain't happening anymore. You know, I've got a friend of mine right now. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of advice because I'm going to get on a tear for just a second here. I've got a friend of mine I talked to on Saturday night. I'm not going to mention any names. He's a great brother. I love him. He's a great guy. But what he did, he basically had to file bankruptcy 30 years ago. And I helped him with it. I helped him get through it. I helped him fill out the paperwork. And I'm not an attorney. I just gave him advice. Didn't charge him, obviously, because I'm not a licensed attorney. And we got through it with him. He started all over again. Then I helped him restore his credit. And we worked and worked and worked and worked with it. Well, in the last 4 or 5 years, he's decided to go out on some dating binge, number one. And number two, he has supported a ministry, you know, out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and has given them a huge percentage of his money out of Texas and Tulsa. This guy who owns this ministry is a billionaire. He admits it. He brags about being a billionaire. My friend has given him a huge chunk of his money, almost his entire life savings. So he had to get debt consolidation here a few months ago, about 2 years ago. He had to get his credit cards consolidated, which destroyed his credit rating. Now he's paying like 28% interest on the car loan he has. And now he's about to have to file bankruptcy again. Now, what's the moral of that story? The moral of that story is, if you're going to be on dating apps, don't waste your money on a bunch of stuff that you can't afford. Number two, I'm telling you the truth now. Don't be buying, you know, $25 espresso martinis for some date that you don't even know that you've never met before. They suck down six of them. You're nuts.
They leave.
And they get them and leave. No, I had a friend. Attorney friend had one do that. It was $150 espresso martinis, and they after about an hour, they got up and walked.
Gotta go.
Drunk as a skunk, but I gotta go. And you're like, what was that all about? I got stuck with the bill here. So don't pay for stuff like that. You know, tell them that you're going to meet them at Five Guys.
What? Did you just say that?
Yeah.
Burger?
Yeah. Now, why would I say that?
Is that a first date place to go, though? Five Guys?
I've done it. Okay, Five Guys. Here's why.
I love Five Guys burgers.
There's no alcohol there. What are they going to get, a $10 cheeseburger? Okay, well, I mean, how big can this bill end up being? I want 14 cheeseburgers. Like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do 8 cheeseburgers or split a Five Guys burger with them. Whatever. Or just take them out and get a cup of green tea. But stop this spending money. Okay, he did all this stuff. Okay. Then he went out and kept buying new trucks every year. I used to help him with the truck deals. He decided to do it on his own. And let me say something to you about car dealerships. I don't recommend any car dealerships in Central Florida. None. I used to, not anymore. They're under new management. I recommend none of them here. None of them. Okay? That's number one. Here's number two. A lot of these car dealerships, they have a term for you when you come in there and you let them do whatever they want to do to you. They call you a laydown. Austin knows I'm right. Now, forgive me, I'm being graphic here. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend anybody. In other words, they're going to have their way with you because you're a laydown. And they will tack on everything, including all this extra stuff as far as, you know, 20 years of extended in warranty, all this other junk.
Let me add to this real quick. Plans. I just had another person I know go look at a vehicle. They contacted me the other day, and they asked me. They're smart, though, because I helped them do another vehicle deal a while back. They said, we don't want you to look at this. So what they did was they brought their vehicle in. They appraised it. Then they come back and say, well, you owe this much. We're giving you this much. Here's the vehicle you want. Here's this. And they gave they love to do this. It's really confusing. They give you this buyer's order with like 19 different numbers on it. The payoff, the pay down, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. But hey, we're going to get you in this one right now. It'll only be $500 a month. And most people don't understand any of the numbers they're looking at. They make the buyer's order so stinking convoluted. You don't really know what you're getting. You don't know what you're paying for. You don't know how much you're paying on it, actually. You don't know what the interest rate is. They make it insanely confused. I looked at it. I said, throw that trash. Anytime you go to a dealership, if you're wanting to get a trade-in or you want to swap a vehicle out, find a vehicle, A, that's going to have less than worse depreciation. You know, not better than bad. As far as something you know, if it drops a year or two, look at the numbers on it. Second, when you go in to look at that vehicle, tell them you're interested in buying it outright. Just tell them that's what you're interested in. Buy it outright. No financing. Are you going to trade it in? I don't think I'm going to trade anything in right now. But let's look at the vehicle. Get an out-the-door price on the vehicle you're looking at and get the numbers down to where they need to be. And it'll say, this is what the car is. This is what the tax is. This is the number. Real clean, easy buyer's order. Then you go, okay, well, now I'm curious what you're going to put in my vehicle. I think we're going to trade it in. No, why don't you put a number on it now, a hard number. Now you see what they're actually selling you your car for. Now you actually see what you're buying. You're basically getting traded for, and no financing involved at all on the first set of numbers. And then negotiate from there because everything becomes extremely easier to work with and transparent.
Let me give you another example. Some dealerships are so unscrupulous. They'll say, how much do you want the payment to be?
That's exactly right.
Now, listen to me. This is really important. You say, well, I can afford $500 a month.
Never tell them that.
I'll get you that payment number.
That's exactly right.
Now, what they do, and they'll do this illegally sometimes, and they'll push it illegally. State of Florida, this is illegal. They will add extended warranty into your contract in order to make the payment $500. Because your payment would have only been $380.
Yeah.
But we have to put an extended warranty onto your car.
And little do you know, they pushed you out like an 84-month loan.
So what happens is you don't see what just happened, but the payment's still $500 a month. But now it's like you have put all this extra money in the car. You're paying less principal every month. My friend told me the other day he's paying $500 a month on the interest alone on his new truck that he didn't need to buy. Now, the crazy part about it is, he thinks that he's okay, and he's not. You know, you could plot the intercept point to bankruptcy. with pretty much anybody who does stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And the sad part about it is I warned him years ago to stop giving his money to this ministry like he's been doing. It doesn't matter if you want to support somebody locally at a local church and you want to give money to them. But don't be just sending money out in the mail to people from other states that are billionaires that basically will never show up if you need somebody to speak at a funeral. They had him. He was going to these conventions with them, and they were giving him suites, and they were giving him upgrades. They assigned somebody to basically talk to him and call him all the time. It was all about how much money they could get from him. It's a business, guys. Let me tell you, it's just a business. And they extracted his entire savings from him. Now he's broke. And he always had an 830, 820 Beacon score. Yes, Austin. Now he's not. He's like a 400 Beacon score. And his total income, his lifestyle has been trashed now because of the interest rates and all the money he's having to pay. He's probably $30,000 upside down in his latest vehicle. And I see it over and over and over and over again. Be very careful. Like Austin just said, get an out-the-door price on the car without a trade to start with.
That's the easiest way to do it.
And then tell them, well, I may go ahead and trade this in. What is it now? And always, and make sure, don't ever ask for the payment. Don't ever do that, because they will give you the payment you want. They may have to extend it from 60 months to 72 months to 84 months to get the payment low enough for you, but then you never develop any principal or any equity in the vehicle.
If you really want to get aggressive, play dealerships price against each other on out the door prices on a vehicle.
So
if you're looking to say a F-250, whatever, you got one's a Lariat, you got another deal, go to two or three different dealerships and make them price beat each other on out the door price only. Then you can go back. If you really want to get aggressive, to have them price beat on trade and value. You do that a couple times, you'll realize how much fluff is in a lot of these vehicle deals and how much money they're making on the back end that you don't even realize you're seeing, and you're just going to eat it. And like I said, also you're like, well, wow, I've got this thing down $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 off of what I got from another dealer. Oh, wow, they beat this. Now I'm $7,000, $8,000 cheaper than I was originally. And then you go look at it. Wow, I actually got a decent deal. You go to trade it in a year, depreciation a little bit, not too bad, but you're actually still upside, in the right side up on the vehicle instead of being $30,000 upside down.
Well, I knew this one lady from Daytona. She had worked at a car dealership, and she put everything she could onto the financing. All these extended warranties, everything was more. It was like $35,000 upside down in the vehicle. She finally paid it all off, and it got flooded in a hurricane, and she lost the vehicle. She was working two and three jobs to pay the car off. Yeah, I mean, you say, well, it can't. Yes, it's true. Cars are expensive now. And all of this is because of what Obama did with cash for clunkers.
Right.
You could buy a car that would actually run pretty good for $300-$400. Not anymore. Everybody would say, oh, this is great. I'm selling my car that's worth $300 for $3,500. This is great on trade-in. No, it's not. Now they track everywhere you go. What's that one? Because it's the Ford Blazers. They almost crushed all of those because they were such junk. You know, horrible fuel models. Well, all of a sudden, there's only a few left now. The price goes through the roof.
Yeah, the old Broncos.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Now, those things, you restore them up, they're $60,000, $70,000, $100,000 trucks.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And they were most of them got crushed.
Yeah. Well, the reason why, and I've told you guys this, they wanted to get the old vehicles off the road. Remember I told you, now the EPA's even stated you can't run E15, the ethanol 15%, in vehicles before 2021. It like rots the vehicle from the inside. Now, suddenly, we're running E15 now because it's got approved because of the Iran conflict. They're doing all these things to get the old vehicles out. Remember, we're waiting to see with this whole thing. This is going to crush the new car market if this actually goes through, because remember, under Biden, they put through that bill that they wanted every new vehicle after 2027 to have full facial recognition biometric software facing the driver to prevent you from drunk driving. So it's going to monitor and watch your eye movement, your face movement, your hand movement, what you're doing the entire time for your safety and protection. And if basically you look inebriated or intoxicated, the vehicle is going to either shut down, turn off, or not start, or a combination between. This is a real thing that's been happening now. Now, here's the million-dollar question. What if we don't drink? What if I don't want to be monitored biometrically while I drive? We got to understand, sir, it's for your safety and protection. Everybody needs to have it in their vehicle.
And if you cover the camera, the vehicle won't start.
That's exactly right. That's where it's going down the next year or two. And so you go, well, I'll just buy an old vehicle. Good luck. The old 7.3 F-250s now go for $20,000, $30,000 with 500,000 miles on them because they don't exist anymore.
Well, they don't exist anymore because they've been taken off the road.
Right. The ones that are still running good, that are in great shape, they've been well-maintained, everybody's like, well, now I want one of these.
Two years ago, I bought a truck. Nice truck. El Silverado. And I'm driving it. One day I get into it, and it won't go into gear. I'm pushing the buttons. It won't go into gear. And I'm trying to start it, and it won't go into gear. I'm sitting in the parking lot, And I just go to Johnson for 20 minutes. And so finally, I call up the guy who sold it to me. I said, what the heck's wrong with my truck? He goes, are you wearing your seatbelt?
Oh, the setting was on. Yep.
I said, yeah. Seatbelt? What does seatbelt have to do with anything? Oh, it won't go into gear with it.
We found. I thought he didn't know what he was doing. I'm like, Dad,
I didn't know what I was doing.
Do you want me to help you with the vehicle? And I'm like, you can't go to drive. We'll not let you go to drive. Sure enough, you go in the dash settings on there, and there's seatbelt safety setting app on. If your seatbelt wasn't on, it will not let you put the vehicle into drive. Now, you can turn that setting off, and all of a sudden it disables all that. And I thought to myself, how unbelievably dangerous and stupid is this option to even have on this vehicle? What if there's an emergency? What if there's something? What if you're about to get doggone carjacked and you're a female and you're trying to get in the vehicle as quick as you can and drive off? Oh, sorry, you got to put your seatbelt on. We'll let the assailant go and break your window and drag you out now because you couldn't put the car in drive because your seatbelt's not on.
Well, what if you're sitting on a train track and you got caught in traffic and you got stuck right there? Now your car's been turned. Now your car shuts off automatically. You try to start it back up again and you can't get into gear because you're not wearing
your seatbelt. The level of just stupidity with that option blew my mind. And I mean, but the fact that that was even an option, and it came, by the way, and it came standard automatically on when you got the vehicle. You had to go on and turn it off.
It's kind of like the Brightline train now. It's almost 200 dead for that.
I rode that this weekend.
I know you did.
Yeah.
So I
rode down a buddy, rode the Brightline back. It was very interesting.
Didn't have any bodies flying.
We didn't kill anybody.
Yeah. Almost 200 dead on that plane because those trains don't stop.
They don't stop. They don't stop. They have slowed down the residential areas. We did go a little bit slower. Now, we got on that 528. I mean, traffic's coming with us, you know, 70-mile-an-hour speed limit. We're passing cars.
Oh, you're 125 miles.
Yeah, we're ripping on it. But the residential areas, they've slowed it down a little bit because apparently people have a difficult time seeing these two metal tracks. They only go that direction and that direction, and they see them, and they go, I don't know, maybe I should just walk down the tracks. You know, this train only goes 120 miles an hour. I'll see it before it hits you.
We're trying to get through over the swamp here. Tracks look like they'd be fun.
They hit everybody. Yeah. And Brightline doesn't stop. They just call it in. I asked them. So what happens if you run into something? What do you mean? I said, don't mean, what do you mean? What do you mean? You're the killer train. You're the most deadliest pedestrian train in U.S. history.
Reminds me of Trump's attorney now, his attorney general.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that? What are you talking about? Did you just bake a question into that? What are you talking about? No, so basically they just called him. And I'm like, oh, whatever. But we got there.
No bodies yesterday.
No.
Well, the problem is they've got these things really on this tight schedule, like an hour apart, and they've got them all running at high speeds.
And they're really fast on time. When they said that door's shutting at 3:38, we're dropping you off, you're getting off, you got 2 or 3 minutes getting on that train, it's gone. They must have Germans running the time frame on it because Amtrak does not operate like that. I've used Amtrak. It is like, we'll just get there when we get there.
I remember I was over there one time and I had a bunch of friends with me and we were getting on a train in Germany and I told them, I said, you got 90 seconds. Yeah. And they sat out there and piddled as the door closed and they were still on the track and then we took off. And
I waved that. In Germany, if it says we got a hard out at 4, when 3:59 clicks over to 4, the doors are done.
It's efficient though.
But but nobody wants to. I rode the Amtrak one time where it was like 45 minutes late getting there. Then we're like an hour and a half late getting where I was going. I was like, this is a nightmare. Anyways, I'm going to cover this one story. It ties back into the heart. This is kind of a heart show today. Everybody needs to keep a healthy heart. This is a pretty cool thing we have right here. It says natural ways to reduce harmful fat around the heart.
The heart is not that big in person.
No, it's not that. Well, that's a really fat heart. I don't know. It's not functioning if it's that fat.
That's a very unhealthy heart if it is.
Right, but it's giving you a description on it.
Okay? Oh, natural ways to reduce a fatty heart. Okay.
Yeah. Don't take the photo. It's perfect size reference on it. So when you look at here, it says heart disease is the top cause of death worldwide, while excess body fat's a known risk. It talks about here essentially the fat that lies underneath it, the visceral fat. You have the visceral, you have the subcutaneous fat, which is what covers under your skin. You have the visceral fat, which poses a very, very significant risk, especially to people that start becoming obese. They said because what happens is obesity increases the risk of heart disease. High quantities of visceral fat basically increase even more risk of that obesity.
Massively elevates estrogen too.
Yeah, it does. And so what they did was they looked at different things you can do to reduce fat around the heart. And they talk about healthy optimalizational approach. That's basically getting on a better diet, eating better, living better. They said instead of many as a healthy diet, essentially needs to be a like Mediterranean style diet where it's good healthy fats, avocado oil, butter, eggs, beef, chicken, and stay away as much as you can away from processed foods. They said the ultra-processed foods increase the risk of this heart fat more than like any other food you can eat, period.
You know, it's so funny. The other day, I was looking at this Greek restaurant over in Tampa. It's called Posomi's.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to take Austin over there. We were running around over there doing some stuff last week, and they had crazy hours. They're not even open until like Thursday or Wednesday or whatever. And they had on the menu no seed oils used in processing our food.
Really? I have to go there and check them out, support them. I like that.
Oh, me too.
That's nice.
No seed oil.
We're done.
We're talking omega 6 now.
Yeah, that's mainly they'll use a soybean oil and canola oil.
Yep, that's right.
Now it says fasting lifestyle, whereas going to long term fasting isn't really that healthy as far as for that. But it said you can also decrease inflammation by doing shorter fasts. So I've talked to you guys like 2 and 3 day fasting, and also you could do things like the GHI cleanse fast with also collagen, which is an incredible fast because it really reduces inflammation of the body, but you're also giving your body massive amount of detoxifying items at the same time. When you do a regular normal fast, like you just fast on straight water, you do cleanse the body out to an extent. However, a lot of times, if you haven't been taking a lot of detoxifying supplements, I personally have seen better results with doing a GHI fast because you're giving your body enormous amount of nutrients to pull the inflammation down and detoxify the liver. Back in the day, you did an old intermittent fast for 2 or 3 days, you're extremely healthy. Cool, you're good. But a lot of times people are not. They have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease from all high fructose corn syrup, and you're trying to get a lot of these items out of your body and detoxify it. GHI is great. Now, here's another one we've talked about. It says exercise, long-distance running, jogging, and aerobics, in which the body basically tries to actually retain fat, is not recommended. Instead, anaerobic activity is encouraged, which essentially you can do walking, aerobic exercises, or weight training, and encourage your body's increase of oxygen. Is it going on long runs all day and doing stuff like that? There's no benefit to that. It also talks about doing saunas, which is an interesting option on it, which I've done many, many times. And now here's the other thing. It says eat well, live well, get at least 7 hours or more of sleep a night. That's crucial to get inflammation down. Think well. Happy people live longer than those who are not happy. It says cardiovascular conditions, high blood pressure, heart attack, and strokes are tied into a lot of mental health issues. Rather than taking pharmaceutical drug like an antidepressant, the answer is to find natural strategies to get rid of anxiety and depression. I agree with them on that. Now, here's one that I'm actually going to do more research on because I didn't think about this and I didn't realize it. We're talking about with the heart. Fat heart around the fat. It says pharmaceuticals have limited benefits. Statins reduce cholesterol, have no meaningful benefit to the risk of heart attack, stroke, or death. We're looking to eliminate pharmaceuticals, all of which have side effects. Instead, consider taking berberine and vitamin C to reduce heart around the fat.
There we go.
It's interesting because we talked about this a few months ago on the show with the berberine and dihydroberberine and the research that came out with it discussing how it's actually had significant cardiovascular protecting properties. So if you're interested in that product, check it out. But I get a lot of positive feedback on that product that helps out with blood sugar because remember, insulin massively increases inflammation when it's spiked for a very long period of time and it can't get under control, especially if you start getting syndrome X, which is high blood sugar, high insulin levels. That's when you become insulin resistant. That's a bad place to be. That massively increases inflammation on the body, especially the heart. That also increases heart fat. So when you start running berberine, you get your blood sugar under control, you get your body more sensitive to insulin, which means your blood sugar gets more stabilized. It's going to start reducing heart fat, according to what this research is saying here.
Anytime you stabilize insulin, you stabilize body fat absorption, retention.
Okay.
Because the insulin stores sugar.
Right,
fat.
Body fat.
Yeah, because once you eat sugar, it has to go down. That's one of the reasons that these weight loss drugs are being used because it reduces body fat.
Right.
But they don't tell you that you can do the berberine to get the same results and cut back on the garbage.
Not have near enough
I was talking
effects.
To my niece last night, and her husband is very overweight. He's been on this stuff for 2 years, but he won't reduce his intake of junk food.
This is not.
So he's lost some weight, but he's still really obese. And she said he won't listen, and he's already got heart problems. Okay, and so it never ends. And so what you have to do, if you're going to take a drug like that, which I do not recommend ever, you have to realize that you need to combine it with a really good dietary protocol. And if you do the dietary protocol to start with, guess what? You probably don't need the drug.
That's probably right.
You know, that's how they get so many people with so many results on this.
Well, now they're trying to push GLP-1s as far as Ozempic and Wegovy.
Well, that's what he's on.
Now they're trying to get like everywhere now. They want every Costco's carrying it now. They're trying to get it, by the way, approved for over the counter
and oral.
Yeah. or over the counter. I mean, you just go to the store and buy it because they want everybody to be on it because they're making enormous amounts of profit on the problem. Is you look up the doggone multi-billion dollar class action lawsuit that they're involved in. It's a serious problem.
Oh, by the way, it used to be called the Jewish Anti-Defamation League.
Yes, long time ago.
No, they changed that's it. How they started it. And because they were saying, you said something bad about a Jew. So they're a communist organization is what they are. And now the Jewish Southern Poverty Law Center has been indicted for fraud and money laundering. You know, this is an interesting article, Paul Craig Roberts. Over the years, the Southern Poverty Law Center convinced me that it was one of the most evil of the Zionist organizations. The main activity of the SPLC seemed to be to demonize white Americans as racist and white supremacists, as I've never encountered a white supremacist. Indeed, the opposite. White Americans fall all over themselves to be multicultural. I'm wondering where the SPLC found so many white supremacists. And so I'm going to let you read this article, but I got a kick out of this. Now they're being indicted for fraud and for money laundering. And, you know, it's sad. Remember that
irony, bro.
Remember that one group, that Black Lives Matter group, remember? Same thing. She's buying all these mansions, money laundering, all the other stuff. She got indicted for that. You know, that's why I say be very, very careful when you start involving yourself with corporations or companies that claim to be 501(c)s. And I'm not sure if these are or not, but they're saying, well, you can write off the money. Let me give you an example. Let's say I'm going to go ahead and donate X amount. I'm going to give $10,000 to a local, you know, SPC or whatever, some weird thing. You think, well, you'll save $10,000 in taxes. That's a lie.
That is a lie.
Okay, you will not. Okay, now listen to me. You'll get a $10,000 deduction. Okay, but it costs you $10,000. Now, you'll save the portion of that you would have paid in taxes. Let's say you're going to pay $4,000 in taxes. You don't have to pay the $4,000 taxes anymore, but you still paid $6,000 more than you would have had you paid the taxes. Am I right or wrong?
That's all. 100% spot on.
So you're right,
people that don't understand business don't understand.
You don't get this. Okay, let's try to just go through it again. You give them $10,000. I'm going to get a deduction now. Okay, and you save $4,000 on your taxes on basically your taxes that are due, but you had to pay $10,000 to save $4,000, so you still lost $6,000.
Right.
So always remember that. So don't get trapped into this. I'm going to save money by giving money away. It doesn't work. Now, if you feel as though someone's a good organization and you want to support them,
that's
and
exactly
you want to give
right.
money to them, that's
like
different.
Thai girls, as far as
yeah, they're like Thai, yeah, when we supported all the Thai
by
girls.
By the way, a bunch of them are starting to graduate, I think, this year now. They've done well.
Yeah, and the crazy part about it, and thank you for the support.
Yes,
of all
thank
that,
you for
years.
That, guys. We haven't brought it up in a while.
But I want to thank you guys for supporting us. I mean, the same thing is true. You know, you could be getting your products on Amazon, which I don't think they're going to be near the same quality as our products, but you could do that if you wanted to. But when you support Health Masters and you basically get your supplements and your toothpaste and all the rest. Oh, by the way, we've got a new toothpaste coming out.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've been working on it, and it's specifically designed for gum health. You guys are going to love this toothpaste.
The company that designed it really put off. I found out recently they put an enormous amount of research into this. A lot of times toothpaste, we're always like, we don't want fluoride. That's always been our base, I'll be honest with you. I didn't realize until I saw the research on this last week the different ingredients, actually almost prebiotics, they're putting into this.
New toothpaste.
It's pretty much a therapeutic toothpaste. Interesting that they've worked with the company on it. I'm doing more on it, talking to them about it. Pretty cool stuff. But we'll keep you guys posted on that. And also, too, make sure you guys are checking out the product of the week. You know, you guys have asked them on this product a lot. You guys have been voting. It's winning, quite frankly, an absolute landslide.
That's what we use it on the show all the time. I love it. Pick it this morning.
It's what it is. Purple Sticks in a can. You guys have tried it. You love it.
No, not Purple Sticks in a can. Vitamin C in a can.
No, that's on sale. I'm talking about the vote.
Oh.
The voting. It's not even a close call.
Our current product of the week is Vitamin
right.
C.
But this wins on Wednesday.
Oh, my
gosh. I was curious what it was going to do.
86% for
yes,
the Purple
that's
Sticks.
Right. That's what I said.
I got to listen a little closer to you. I thought you were talking about Vitamin C.
Vitamin C is on sale till Wednesday. Everybody loves that. Everybody's been stocking up on it. But this right here, this is like, I was curious what everybody's going to do as feedback.
Oh, by the way, the $50 movie ticket has arrived.
$50. I got to hear this.
They are pre-selling tickets for Dune 3 coming out in December for $50 a pop for basically the big screen for IMAX.
It was a decent remake, but I wouldn't pay $50 to go see it.
I still think the 86 version or 84 version was the best one ever
Dune
made.
Desert Planet.
Yeah, but that was, I just like the style.
The original was wild.
Well,
they toned it way down in the remake.
They really, really, really,
it
really did.
It sucked a lot. There's some stuff I could have done without the first one, the original one.
Some of the stuff was pretty sick,
graphic.
Man. Yeah, it was
but guys, so thank you again for getting your subs. I've told you guys so many times before, we're here to help you out the best we can. We respond to the emails best I can. If I miss one, please contact Skin, but I get a lot of them. I respond to all of them, or I have Lana respond to them, I have Ruben respond to them. One of us responds to them. We all see them. So thank you guys for getting your information and your products from us. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you for supporting this show. We spend an enormous amount of time and energy on this show, like a lot of money on this show, and we want to bring you guys updated news all the time. So thank you for dealing with our antics some days. Sometimes things are a bit wilder than others.
Oh, by the way, Michael Jackson's movie's out. It's actually making some pretty good money, and they're saying that he's been brought back into the mainstream. Remember the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan tried to destroy him because he did a video on them.
Yeah, a music video.
He did. I mean, he talked. I'm not going to cover it right now because it's a bad way to end the show today. But he actually started calling them out by name and who they were, and they got really, really mad. I mean, I'm not saying he's a good guy. I'm not saying he wasn't involved in some of the weird stuff he was involved in. But the point is, they had to destroy that name. But his name's coming back out because of that movie. That Thriller album still is one of the top ones out there. It's crazy, isn't it?
Appreciate you guys. Check out the product of the week and the best sellers. Got a lot of different sales and specials. Make sure you sign up for the email list on there. That way you get our updates every single week on what's going on with the health news and also different sales and topics. Have a great evening, my friends, and we'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow as always.
Remember, keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Again, thank you for your support. I love you guys so much. Hope you were in church yesterday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.